Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, coming up, Dom's Money Melody, and Dan has the sound. We had to put in a few bleeps. The guy who hired these two Amish kids to put up a deck, and they said they'd have it done in one day. How's that possible? They carry barns 500 feet. Just, get busy. If you're looking for a good film, though, Witness should be available somewhere. Henry, I'm surprised you've never seen Witness.
It's shocking, right?
Yeah, shocking. All right, well, yeah, we'll have to get him to be engaged with that. Okay.
Paramount Plus.
Yes.
Paramount Plus for Witness.
Dawn Fantasia, Assemblywoman Dawn Fantasia, came to our mind with rural New Jersey. Who would have thought that? Pennsylvania, we think it. And the Bears. And these people in, like, Newark and all, telling them how to deal with their trash and bird feeders and stuff like that with the bear-proof cans. And I'll remember all that. But she's become really, during the drone situation, and we have Jeff Van Drew on tomorrow, and Dan and I were remembering Van Drew talking about the Iranian mothership and drones making international news, and there's some evidence of their suicide drones. She was right in the center ring trying to get to the bottom of what was happening with Phil Murphy. She represents District 24, and Dawn's back with us on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Dawn, welcome in.
Hey, Dom.
So, Dawn, this Andy's Farm thing, I saw the one public statement today from Mikey Sherrill that doesn't say a whole lot, but even she realizes, even in a place like Jersey, this is very sympathetic, the White House involved, Fox involved. Take your time and give us the layout of what's going on with this in Cranberry, New Jersey.
Well, I wish I could paint a prettier picture of what's happening in Cranberry right now, but it's horrific. You know, we have the state prepared to seize private farmland so it can be handed over to developers for high-density housing through eminent domain. So what used to be a very rarely, if ever used, solemn, let's say, power for eminent domain that's reserved for critical public infrastructure, hospital, highway, is now being distorted, and it's being used as a legal weapon to enforce these ludicrous housing mandates. And now we're at the point, we warned about this, and this is no longer hypothetical. So in Cranberry, you have the brothers. They own a farm, Andy and Christopher Henry. They own a farm that's been in their family for 150 years. And now their land is smack in the middle of the crosshairs, despite their refusal to sell. I mean, they've received massive offers from developers. But the township of Cranberry is moving forward to take their land, not because they've done anything wrong, not because there's an emergency project that needs to go in there. It's because the town didn't meet the housing number, this mystery magical number passed out of Trenton Democrats that they were assigned. This isn't fair at all. And again, when the legislature codified these housing mandates, the Republican side said towns are going to be steamrolled. Farmland's going to be taken, bureaucrats. Mm-hmm. We have these active judges, right, that are doing the planning. Now it's no longer fear. Now look what we see. It's fact. The government can seize your property to meet a spreadsheet quota. It literally, I call it tyranny with a bulldozer.
Beautifully put. Dawn, I was talking about my time at Rutgers Law School, and it was right around the time, or just shortly thereafter, the Mount Laurel decision. And it was groundbreaking. It was huge. And at that point, it was sold as, what are you going to do? There's discrimination, et cetera. But to your point, it was predicted, slowly but surely, this is exactly what they'll do with something like this.
You're absolutely right. I mean, and here's the bigger issue. If the state can do this to this farm in Cranberry, and we see little pockets of this popping up around the state, it's no longer about farmland, right? It's about power. It's about who decides what your town going to look like. Is it your local affected officials or a judge or some lawyer or Democrat from their concrete balcony? You know, and under this mandate, towns no longer are allowed to grow thoughtfully or organically. So, you know, they were looking to stop any type of discrimination, but instead they created these ludicrous, unrealistic mandates now that are turning into court takeovers of zoning boards and now the seizure of land. So, you know, the housing isn't being built near mass transit in this case, not tied to an infrastructure improvement. It's not even being debated seriously publicly. Like the tone-deaf board last night in Cranberry, I watched some of the footage and, you know, a couple people on social media had recorded it and whatnot. These are decisions that are happening behind closed doors, right? And in their council chambers. And now what's going to happen to Cranberry? So take the poor Henrys out of the situation. Look at the overall impact, right? Overcrowded schools, strained sewers. Up here we have septic systems, so good luck with that. More traffic, less open space. And when the farmland's gone, it doesn't come back. It's impossible to restore. So this is a very, very serious problem, and it's arrogance. The arrogance behind the Trenton Democrat agenda is staggering.
Exactly. Now, how does this play out into the governor's race then? I'm sure Jack Ciattarelli, I've seen some of his statements. How does it play out, Dawn, universally? In Pennsylvania, it would be a huge issue because of rural Pennsylvania, which is one of the biggest in the country. Jersey has a pretty good rural area where you are and places around there. Are there legs attached to this to make that point?
Well, you know, think about this. There's absolutely legs attached to it because you have Northwest New Jersey, which also has Morris and Hunterdon County. So Sussex and Warren are a little bit smaller, right? Sussex at about 140 some thousand people, Warren at about 100,000. But you have Hunterdon and Morris County. There's a fair amount of farmland there. Then you have Southern Jersey. But don't forget, Dom, Cranberry, that farm is directly off the turnpike. It's not like, you know, Cranberry is a deeply wooded forest. You know, it's smack right there.
Right.
So, you know, there's appears to be no discrimination when it comes from the state as to when they can do this shameless land grab. So this has really lit a fire. I mean, I've heard from everybody and their brother. I have yet to have one person outside of that Cranberry Council come out swinging and say, this is really a great idea. We're doing the right thing here. I have yet to hear anybody on either side of the aisle. So although Mikey Sherrill will continue with her vanilla milk toast, a lot of words that says nothing at all, I think the real impact is going to be from the Republican Party getting incredibly fired up. It's just another nail. It's another nail in the Democrat coffin that they just keep stepping in it. These are unforced errors on their part, in my opinion, and it's a beautiful thing to see. See them step in it so often.
Are they really serious, or was it just the third anniversary of the Dobbs decision? I go to you as the ultimate surrogate here for Jack Ciattarelli when it comes to this female on the other side, Dawn, of saying, Jack Ciattarelli, you won't be able to get an abortion if he's elected in New Jersey. It's in the Constitution. What more can you do?
You know, it's a whole lot of hooey, and since the Democrats are doing such a terrible job with their own policy, they're grasping at straws, okay? So there is a bill, the Pain Capable Unborn Act, that is the 20-week bill, okay? And that is what Jack has said. Now, Jack and I may differ. Jack is on the pro-choice side up to that point. I tend to lean more pro-life, but let's really talk about what this is. Right now in New Jersey, we have 100% New Jersey taxpayer-funded abortions, regardless of your citizenship or residency status in New Jersey. There's no parental notification for a minor. You don't have to be a physician to perform the procedure, even on a minor. There's no medical investigation in the event of a fetal death. And the worst one, oh, not the worst, they're all terrible, but there's no protection for the unborn victims of crime. So if a pregnant woman is hurt during an assault, is hit by a drunk driver, and she is pregnant, and that unborn child dies, that is not a homicide in New Jersey. And Mikey Sherrill supports that not being a homicide because they are so frightened of personhood being assigned to an unborn child. But the bigger picture is, let's be honest about where we are. You know, they always say we're doing a war on women. I'm going to ask my colleagues across the aisle, is France waging a war on women? In France, abortion at 14 weeks is restricted. Germany, 12 weeks. Even Sweden, the mother of all beacons of liberalism, has an 18-week limit. So are these nations waging a war on women, or is New Jersey just literally aligned with North Korea and China and out of our minds and have lost any modicum of humanity? This isn't even where both sides are coming to the table to saying, you know, when is the unborn child sensitive to pain? It's not even a conversation. They have literally taken it off the extreme cliff. And what they're going to try to do is claim that Jack Cittarelli is going to, you know, enact laws in such a way that a woman who's ailing from an ectopic pregnancy can't be treated. And it's a bunch
exactly.
of BS.
Exactly.
They know
But that's why you, though, in the ring with this are so potent, Dawn. Dawn, it's a turnout election. We heard that down at Mulligan's, and you're invited to the next one. We don't have the date yet, and we'll get that to you. We really would like to have you there in person. Affordability, we hear. I'm thinking about that because the guy in New York is really going to help bolster New Jersey. Well, I don't know. Those New Yorkers herding into northern Jersey, I guess. He's going to drive them there if he withstands this and is elected. But he talked about affordability in New York. Of course, we know the socialism pitch on this. Is Mikey Sherrill going to be making that case, or what is the argument for the other side, the broad argument in this election?
Well, Mikey Sherrill is in a bit of a pickle now, isn't she? Because you have this completely radical extreme wing for which she has right. embraced some of these positions in the past, even though they're trying to paint her as a moderate. She's in a world of hurt because in New Jersey, we love our police, right? I mean, we even have a bipartisan bill coming up now to separate our New Jersey State Police from the feckless attorney general. And that's bipartisan because we see what's happening. So in New Jersey, there is a real reverence for police. This, and I'll call him gentleman, and I use that term very loosely in New York, he is absolutely aggressively against the police. He has put up defund the police. They're racist. He goes down a whole litany of what barbarians he believes the New York City Police Department is. And when someone tried to soft pedal for him, oh, I don't think that's really what they mean. He said, oh, no, I said what I said.
Yep.
And then put that aside and think about the vibrant, vibrant Jewish community in the state of New Jersey. Okay. This man takes a pro-PDF stance. He refuses to reject any violence or genocide that has ever happened against Israel. And even worse, he's a Holocaust denier. So we have a Holocaust denier who refuses to acknowledge even a simple resolution that acknowledges those who lost their lives in the Holocaust. And that is going to be the standard bearer in New York City, just a stone's throw across the bridge. Mikey Sherrill has herself a serious problem, because what do you do in that scenario? She's caught between a rock and a hard place, and I can't wait to see this. There's no answer for her.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. So, Dawn, where do we find all things Dawn Fantasia? Where do we go?
Well, on X, you could follow me on DawnFantasia_NJ. And then on Facebook, you could just search Assemblywoman Dawn Fantasia.
Thank you, Dawn. To be continued. Thanks very much today.
Thank you.
All right, Dawn Fantasia, District 24 over there. Hopefully you'll see her at the next Mulligan's along with others. We're working on the date. It'll be coming pretty soon. Oh, Scott in Mount Laurel is coming up, the Mount Laurel decision. I remember when it first came down, you know, and there were some communities where there was discrimination, and this was built, but it's the execution of stuff like this. And you heard what she said. They come up with these artificial numbers. They don't care that this is a farm 100 years and all that. They're going to take it. And the most meaningful that I've ever been involved in with eminent domain were these people over in Phoenixville. Remember that? This little 9-hole golf course we broadcast from, it was in December a few years back. And the bottom line is they just wanted to line up the entire school district in the one area in Phoenixville, block by block or something. And the people that owned it, the people that frequented it, some of them were veterans. There was a little coffee thing there, donuts. We broadcast right from there. Little 9-hole golf course. Oh, no. We had to have that. Your right to that kind of a sanctuary did not match the right of the government when they say they're coming in. Well, you know what enrages people about this? It's the farm part. A farm coming down. It would be the same thing with a great family business. How dare they? Eminent domain, I'm trying to think of a good metaphor. I'll have one maybe by tomorrow. It's supposed to be used in such a minuscule number of cases where the greater good is just so overwhelming, and this is right in the center of it. And there might be a case of something like that out there. Even that, I'm kind of doubting. But to them, eminent domain means we're progressives, we're the government, we are going to take it, and we don't care what you say, whatever the emotional value, the value to the community or how outrageous is, we're going to do it. In most of these eminent domain cases, there have been any number of them over the years. I was involved with that one, seeing it up close. The hurt on these people for what? What did they gain over in Phoenixville? This is a much bigger deal. I think the White House is going to stop them in New Jersey, but hopefully this will play out into the governor's race. And Mikey Sherrill will not be able to get away with some puff statement trying to take both sides on this. This is wrong. I will take your calls on that, too, coming up, 855-839-1210. It is time for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
Where's all the money gone?
That is right. And today we are playing for a $50 gift card to the Melting Pot. Visit meltingpot.com for details and locations, and watch out for Dan if he happens
to be
there.
Well, what's the best thing you can dip in cheese, Dom? Nachos?
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying cheese. I thought you
And blue cheese counts. You know what? Wings. I'm going with wings.
I think you dip it in chocolate. Count. Isn't that a fondue?
Well, you can do fondue or cheese.
Yeah. Well, oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, chocolate with me. You can dip it.
You'd rather the chocolate melt?
I like the chocolate.
Well, what's the best dipper for chocolate then? You have to choose one. You can't be a politician about this.
I'd say strawberries.
Okay.
Yeah. More chocolate.
Not pineapples? Pure heartburn?
On a stick? Pineapple. I love a nice pineapple. Ugh. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, sorry.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, Dom, today's side question, we're asking for that all-time farmer real or fictional. Simply enough, I'm going to play you a song. It is a farmer girl covering a farmer boy, and I want to know who the farmer girl is.
Okay. It's a great song, too. It's a shame.
And really?
I think it's a brutal
song. I like
that song a lot.
I know.
Yeah.
No, it's a farmer boy song. We're not giving anything away here.
Come
I don't
on.
Care.
All right.
I don't care. Now you can look something up with that.
Okay. All right. I just said I didn't say anything else here. All right. 855-839-1210. Hit us with this, and when you hear the answer, it will be interesting, your reaction. I'll say that. And you're off to the Melting Pot. 855-839-1210.
It's Dom Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me the money.
That is exactly right. All right, we're looking for the name of the farm girl here, right? Singing a song of the farm boy. All right.
Oh.
All right, let's go to Teresa in Philadelphia. All right, Teresa, who's singing the song, the cover?
Sheryl Crow.
Oh, close.
All right, that must be the other one that I associate.
I feel like it's a new age Sheryl Crow almost.
Okay.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah.
Bob and Cherry Hill. Who is it, Bob?
Courtney Cox.
Oh, no.
Courtney Cox.
What the heck is operational there today? The phone lines weren't working today.
Tough. Yeah.
And they're still a little slow, so we don't
have any. Yeah, I know. I wish maybe they weren't after that. 855-839-1210.
We got $50 to Melting Pot on the line.
Let me give a little hit here.
$50 to Melting Pot. All right, go ahead.
All right. It's a Pennsylvania farm girl. I don't know if there's too many Pennsylvania country, singers out there.
Right.
That grew up on a tree farm.
All right, tree
like a Christmas
farm.
Tree think, farm?
Christmas tree?
I assume
okay.
So, yeah.
All right, you got to jump in quickly, though, at 855-839-1210. Like to put it on the air if you get in quickly. Who is it covering that song? And then we'll tell who the farm boy is, so to speak, here with this. Let me go to Zenos, though, in Upper Darby here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Zenos, what are your thoughts on Andy's farm?
Well, Dom, they're doing exactly the same thing as the Bolsheviks did in 1917 in Russia after they murdered the Tsar with a fake trial. Not that he was an angel either, but they murdered him and took all his property and gave it to people. You know, just random people they're giving it to. And that's what this farm is all about. This is not important. The farm is more important than what they want to do with it.
Sure it is. Absolutely.
That's more important because we're losing our things, you know, for farming.
And Zenos, think about it. On the other hand, when they say open spaces and they don't want you doing something with your property, they bludgeon you at that level. Now, they don't want open spaces, a farm. They want to put dense housing in there.
Exactly. And here's another Greek word that I have for that, what these people are. These are three Greek words, Don, but you'll probably understand. It's called hypocrisia me diploma. You know what I just said? Hypocrisy with a diploma. Hypocrisia me diploma. They're not only hypocrites, these Bolsheviks. They got him in a master's degree, bachelor's degree, and that's what's hanging up in their office. These are hypocrites. You hit the nail right on the head, Dom. They're talking about open spaces. You can't do this in your property. But yet they're taking away a beautiful open space that's been in this family since 1850. They should be ashamed of themselves. They're the true. This is the true party of socialists and Bolsheviks. What I'm just saying right now.
Zenos, give me your answer on the side. Who's your farmer?
Oh, the farmer would have to be a couple. I'd say James Polk or Jefferson.
Jefferson was said, so we'll take, did he say James Polk? I think it was Polk. That was a farmer.
I heard Polk.
I heard Plork.
You heard Plork, yeah.
I don't know who Plork. That guy is. We'll have to look that up in our
strong
Funk
Greek accent. Well, New York accent.
Yeah, New York, yes.
We do have a winner
yeah,
now.
Yeah, let's go to Jim in the Northeast on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Jim, who's covering the song?
Taylor Swift.
Wow, yeah. I didn't know that one. How did you know that, Jim? Just what?
When he said Pennsylvania farm girl.
I'll put you on hold, Jim. One thing before you give us a little more background, Henry. In Rhode Island, I guess it is, a new thing. It's called the Taylor Swift tax. They have some kind of crazy formula where if you own a certain value of a house or whatever, they can tax you an extraordinary amount. And they're calling the Taylor Swift. I think she has housing there. It's even for a place that's big time Democrat progressive, Rhode Island. It is outrageous. The Taylor Swift tax. Any more on that?
Yeah, no. Taylor Swift grew up on a tree farm out in Wyomissing. And then obviously she was covering Bruce Springsteen, as given away by Dan.
There we go. Yes.
Or the girl screaming, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, that too. That too, who obviously has his farm in Jersey.
The country gentleman farmer.
Is that Bruce?
Yeah, the very fake farming tycoon. All right, this just came down. The ban on carrying firearms openly in Philadelphia is unconstitutional. A Pennsylvania appeals court has just ruled. Judges stopped short, though, of getting rid of the law. It was 2-1 here. It involved a guy. There have been several instances in Philadelphia, and it's shocking sometimes to the police to see a guy walking down the street open carry. I did an event with these guys over in media at like a chain restaurant at around the time of one of these, and there were 50 of them. The difference is, the guy did not get a license in Philadelphia. It's hard to get this license. And that made his case more difficult. But the ruling did still stand with Rehad Sumter, who was arrested after police officers noticed him walking down the street with a handgun visible from his waistband. He was sentenced to 12 months of probation in 2022 for openly carrying a firearm without a license. But they didn't get rid of the Philadelphia law. Now, this is the thing with progressives. Back to the farm in Philadelphia. These people in places like Philadelphia want to tell the rest of the world what to do, but then they want to say, we're not going to follow your constitution in Pennsylvania. And one of the biggest gripes I have, I can never be a judge. The work life of these judges, it's in the Commonwealth Court. This Philadelphia city, it's got to be years now, and it's got to come to a head soon, that makes it so difficult to stop vehicles. You see it and I see it. People driving around constantly with tinted windows that are illegal. No license on the back or those bogus Delaware license plates that are pieces of paper that are all weatherlogged, or any number of other things that are illegal. Police in Philadelphia tell me they're scared to death to make these stops because of Larry Krasner and because of what could happen around this. And it's all due to this Isaiah guy. Name will come to me on city council, who said, we don't want you pulling people over because of the taillight, and we know exactly what you're up to. You're bigots. And black people need like a green book, not to find restaurants or housing, but to just drive around Philadelphia routes. Don't go here. The cops will get you, that type of thing.
It's quite the unforgettable name, Dom. Former basketball player?
Yeah. Isaiah Thomas. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, it's not actually the Isaiah Thomas.
I know. I don't like Isaiah Thomas.
Even though his bio does say whether in the classroom or on the basketball court.
Yep. He's never come on the show. He's the guy that got, it's been what, 2.5, 3 years? Is it that much? That Philadelphia passed this, I think almost unanimously. And essentially, they're saying, we're not going to follow the vehicle code of Pennsylvania. We're making up our own, where you're not going to be pulled over. The cops will send you a ticket. To where? I mean, how are you writing a ticket based on these license tags? How are you figuring out who this is? They're not going to pay the ticket. So same thing we were just talking about with Zenos. We have to submit to red light cameras all over the place, right? They keep on adding them. Speed cameras. They're all on board with that. But nothing about the ability of the police to use their discretion and judgment that Pat Malloy talks about all the time. These guys come out to Abington and they're saying, you can't stop me. They don't in Philadelphia. And they have to tell them, this is Abington. You're going to be stopped for this stuff. Are you kidding me? No license plate. How do you drive around like that? How are you not looking over your shoulder? And I haven't seen the most recent numbers, but this is where police find drugs, guns, illegal, up and down the line. What's Larry Krasner's advice? Well, go to a well-lit area. You know, that's what you should be doing to avoid carjacking and everything else. On and on it goes. So good for this court. I wish they had overturned the law, but at least this guy now won on this. And it's difficult in Philadelphia to get a license to carry. We've been through all this. And it is a bit, Dan, have you ever seen a guy walking down the street with open carry? Have you ever witnessed that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah.
In Indiana or here?
Yeah, Indiana.
Indiana, okay.
South Carolina, yeah.
Henry, how about you? Have you ever seen this here?
I don't even know if I've noticed someone with open carry, no.
Okay. It's relatively rare. The case that I remember, this is years ago, the guy was at Castor and Cotman just walking down the street, I think, with double guns on.
Oh, boy.
Perfectly legal. And the cops are like, what? And the point I made was, isn't it better? It's the concealed type of thing that goes on where there's more difficulty. Mm-hmm. But admittedly, walking down Castor and Cotman with two guns
like
on.
A cowboy.
Yeah.
He's got spurs in the back of his Skechers.
And the cops, sadly, didn't know the Constitution. They thought this can't be good. Yeah, but Pennsylvania's an open carry state. And Philadelphia's tried to take that away by one means or another. They want to ban so-called assault weapons, et cetera. So Philadelphia wants to tell the rest of the world what to do, Pennsylvania. They throw their weight around like, you better put all that SEPTA funding in there because we need it here. One of the most ill-run organizations. But when it comes to following the Constitution of Pennsylvania and or the vehicle code, they don't want to do it. They want to make up their own. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Hey, big news, Rescue Natural Supplements is rolling back the clock and prices. That's right, the supplements you trust at prices you haven't seen in over a decade. Plus, they're offering a massive 33% off on top of the already discounted 2010 rollback pricing. That's every product, omega-3s, probiotics, joint support, everything. Prices roll back to get you ready for summer. Just use that code WELLNESS at checkout for 33% off your entire order on Rescue single bottles. To order, call a Rescue product consultant at 800-26-ALIVE. That's 800-262-5483. Or shop online by visiting res-q.com. Res-q.com. Feel better, get active, Turn back the clock with Rescue 2010 pricing. Again, just use the code WELLNESS, 33% off any single bottle. That code WELLNESS, W-E-L-L-N-E-S-S, 33% off on top of 2010 rollback pricing. You'll get healthy, get savings, res-q.com. Do it today. All right, Dom Giordano show. So this guy, I can have to talk to some friends in New York radio. The guy who looks to be, well, he's got Adams there lurking. Is New York going to vote for Mayor Adams, current Mayor Adams, given the corruption and then given the Trump pardon? Or are they going to vote for this menace? This guy is a Holocaust denier, at least as far as I can tell. And on October 7th, well, really more October 8th, after we knew about October 7th, was condemning Israel for provoking this versus Hamas. Thinking about that, because Bill O'Reilly's new book, Confronting Evil, it's not out to September, but he sends me a copy so that I can give him my thoughts. Once I said, well, you know, I don't know if I'd said that. Then instantly, it seemed like within 5 minutes.
Bill O'Reilly uses you as an editor?
Yes, as an editor. Huh. Oh, yes. Oh,
I never knew that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look at that.
I usually say complimentary things, and he is ahead of the curve again.
Have you ever given a negative critique?
Yes.
You have?
I said...
I would never.
I'm trying
to
remember.
Me?
I think it was killing the
Have you seen
the
that guy when...
I know. Well, yeah, we're...
intimidating.
Well, I tell you, the first time he stood up in his office when they introduced to me, I knew he was tall, but this is like, and he has that menacing sort of thing. Yeah. No, he wants that, though. He wants you to tell him. Now, the other side of O'Reilly doesn't want you to say that either. It's kind of a, next time he's on, I'll see if I can point out something in this.
He doesn't want the yes man.
I feel like he's the type of guy, like, if you fluff him up too much, he'd be like, all right, that's enough out of you.
He doesn't like the fluffery. But he did have the Ayatollah Khomeini on the cover, along with the all-star team of Hitler, Mao Zedong, and Putin. And the thing I'm going to ask him, well, what happened to Stalin? He might say, I can't put two Russians on the cover. Confronting Evil, Assessing the Worst of the Worst. He particularly goes after King Henry VIII, which I was reading last night. Yeah, an interesting... His
book. You insulted about that, Henry?
He doesn't speak for Henry's. That King Henry VIII gives us a bad name. So
he particularly puts stuff in there where every book I go, I didn't know that. That was a detail. And the most controversial book is The Killing of Reagan, even though Reagan wasn't assassinated, thank God. But O'Reilly's take is how he was diminished by that assassination and not the same individual after it.
You ever ask him how he came up with the name The Killing?
The Killing?
Yeah.
I did, and I forget what his answer was. But
so it's got to be weird, like sitting on a train reading a book that says, you know, Killing Reagan.
Well, yeah, the first one was Killing Lincoln. I think that was the first.
Okay.
And I didn't know how many Union troops died drowning and chasing John Wilkes Booth and Dr. Mudd. Your name is Mudd. Where we got that from. I didn't fully know it. The details are unbelievable.
Yeah, my stepfather is obsessed with these killing books. He says and he's like a history expert. He says every time he reads one of these things, he walks away learning so much. And,
yeah, exactly.
And highly suggests.
Yeah, my favorite is The Killing of Kennedy. The detail, the stuff that he goes into, and he is not a conspiracy nut saying that Oswald didn't do it. So there's that.
Maybe I'll start reading.
All right, so he'll be back with us soon. There we go. And O'Reilly, you love Shakespeare. So, Henry, do you read Shakespearean plays?
Not since high school, no.
Okay. Well, Dan's never read them, apparently.
You didn't have to in Indiana?
Well, we did. I just got the cliff notes.
In Indiana, I can see there
are beautiful little yellow books.
Oh, God.
Yes.
What did we do before AI? Cliff notes. Will they be written by AI? How many of the – we had the guy on from St. Peter's, and he made the great case. You know how bad it is when you're cheating with AI? Uh-huh. How can you rely on AI to have any down the hall?
I can't believe these kids are reading these summaries written by this computer.
Yeah,
written by humans.
Yeah, well, at least have a human there. All right, Scott in Mount Laurel, the Mount Laurel decision. So, Scott, you guys in Mount Laurel have a lot to answer for. That's why this guy's farm's being taken away.
Well, I can't defend the decision, that's for sure. You know, I'm all about the free market. You know, we had that Kelo decision back in 2005 at the Supreme Court, where they basically said it was in Connecticut, and they decided it was okay for to take land for public use, as they call it, which would be anything a private developer could come up with.
Yeah, the Kehoe decision was that's the one that was even a step beyond Mount Laurel. Yes.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think with the makeup, but remember that was the Supreme Court where the four left wingers and the middle vote Kennedy,
right.
You know, were the ones who voted for Kehoe, or against Kehoe, whatever it was, voted for that decision. This would be a time where if we could bring that back to the court with the current makeup, I think we could win that one and get it reversed. And there's no reason.
Yeah. I think you're right, and I think the White House is intervening to try to slow this down, and the more people hear about it. And again, I'm looking for anything that might make its way into the governor's race. I still think the key, Scott, is to show that Mikey Sherrill is not this moderate, and I think the trans issue is the vehicle to do that. If she can come through this masquerading as an alleged moderate, even for Jersey, that's going to make it difficult.
Well, there's no doubt. She's, as you always say, she's got the home field advantage in New Jersey. You really have
right.
to beat her. And I think the other thing, maybe the plastic bag thing. I mean, if we can get our plastic bags back here in New Jersey, that would be a thing. Where the funny thing is there's plastic throughout the entire store, around the meat, around the vegetable. But you can't have a plastic bag to carry your groceries out.
Scott Pressler.
Even though these are the same people.
That's the Pressler okay? contribution to this, the plastic bag thing. I agree. Yep. What's your side
yeah.
today? What's your
side? By the way, Mulligan's. Mulligan, can I talk about Mulligan's for a second?
Sure.
That was incredible. I met Joe in Columbus, Dave from Somerset. My wife and I were trying to find a table. It was so crowded in there. It was unbelievable. And this nice couple, Bill and Charlotte, they listen all the time, they said, from Laurel Springs. And everybody we ran into that bar was, even if they didn't call all the time, they were loyal listeners. And it was such a great atmosphere. And it was packed in that place.
Yeah, I got to thank Johnny Z for providing this vehicle, this place to gather. And we'll have more coming up. It is that's what they don't get, Scott, about talk radio. It's not all politics. It's 40-yard football throws and mulligans and stuff like that. It's a club.
Yeah, it is. And the food was terrific, too. I had a great lunch. That was good, too.
Now, you saw Dan up close, by the way, there that day. You still think you could teach him to shoot 70% from the foul line?
I'll tell you something. I walked in there. I see Dan. I see Pressler. I'm thinking, I can get a little lineup going here.
Oh,
I got the
man.
Big man. I got
Browski at center, Pressler, power forward, Dom
so,
point guard.
Yeah.
So, Scott,
I mean,
wait a minute. I'm a shooting guard. I'm not playing any point.
Henry will run point then.
I can't dribble.
Hey, What's your six, two and three quarters or what's the
six,
number?
6-1 and a quarter. 6-1 and a quarter.
Oh, I knew there was a quarter in there somewhere.
Yeah.
That's not a bit, you know. Well, in today's day, you'd be a point guard. But
yeah, but the question is, I have the mentality of a shooter. I made 7 in a row and I'm going to shoot the 8th. I missed 7
mentality.
In a row. Well, on average, I'm shooting the 8th.
Well, I'm with you there. It's
yeah.
a good shot, you know, for you because you shoot a high percentage. We're on board with that.
Okay.
You know, we'll get Dan and Pressler to come out and set some good screens for you. We'll be good.
Dan doesn't look like a screener to me. It seems far
Wait,
off.
What's that mean?
I set the screens around
no,
here.
Let's be clear.
No one's getting through.
Being a good screener is really a matter of will.
It sounds like a
exactly.
Percent.
Yeah, that it is. It is. So, Scott, who's your answer, Farmer, today?
Well, my answer is, and it's rare to have a high-profile Democrat as a side answer, but it's Jimmy, I'll never lie to you, Carter.
All right, that's a good one.
You know, he said he would never lie to us, but he would just be incompetent. That's all.
The original Cowboy Carter.
The peanut farmer. Yes, Jimmy Carter.
You want to know what Henry just revealed to me back here?
What's that?
That at one point in his life, and this is like a true sign of the times
yes.
and how things have changed, Bill O'Reilly Killing Series was part of a summer reading list at his school.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, going into
is that common? Like I don't know. Is that common that Bill O'Reilly's featured? I can't imagine today's world.
No, not common now, but bring it up the next time. He'll tut tut. He'll be impressed
oh,
with
oh,
that.
Oh, no, he won't be impressed with the backstory behind it though.
What's yeah. that?
So, this is either, I forget if it was going to junior year or senior year of high school. One of the required reading books was Killing Kennedy.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, I waited till like school started because you get those right. first couple weeks of school before you got to actually take the test on the book. So I started reading it then. I was like, you know what? This is a pretty good book. I thoroughly enjoyed this. It's a good read. Show up to take the test. You know, I sit down at the computer, open up the software. All right, are you ready to take your test for Killing Lincoln?
Yeah.
And turns out there isn't a whole lot of overlap in between killing Lincoln and killing Kennedy.
All right. Those summer reading assignments.
Summer reading.
Very difficult.
Yeah, you know.
Should have used the AI spark.
Who was the person that killed Lincoln?
That's
Lee
the
Harvey
one question
Oswald.
I got
Lee
right.
Yeah. Yes. How was Lincoln assassinated? Yes, driving in Dallas.
Yeah, there you go. All right. We'll have to talk about that before O'Reilly's here, but we got to get a winner today to get your name into the hat for a great prize at the end of the week. All-time farmer, 855-839-1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
All right, it is the lightning round. All-time farmer, hit me with that. National Farmer Day, Dom Giordano Show, Joe in Bordentown. Joe, who's yours?
Mine is my great-uncle, John Schmidt, who was a dairy farmer and bootlegger. And he used to put the booze into those metal milk cans and deliver them with the milk cans that had the actual milk in it.
Got you very much. The Earl of Tacony with his continuing series, How to Stay Cool. Earl, what do you have?
It's getting laid off to do that tomorrow. I don't want to take up too much time. So I'm going to go with New Jersey's most famous farmer. He owns 400 acres in Colts Neck, New Jersey. He has the farm, so he doesn't have to pay taxes because you get a tax rebate if you happen to have a farm. And that'd be farmer Bruce Springsteen.
Okay, yeah, I remember when John Runyon ran for Congress, and there was a lot about him being a gentleman farmer. Same kind of thing. You had a goat or something, and in Jersey, you have a goat, you're a farmer.
Hey, everyone needs to get to that social ASAP. I don't know, did you see Scott Pressler posted up a montage of his time over at Mulligan's?
Ah, no.
Yeah. Well, at Dom Show 1210, and check that out if you want to see it.
Yeah, it was, boy, the film crew alone, and he sees you as a videographer. All right, we'll see about that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right, Drew in Upper Darby. Drew, what do you have?
Hey, Dom, thank you. Back in World War I, there was a young private. He was a conscientious objector. He ended up capturing about 130 Germans at one time, all by himself. So back in Washington, D.C., he was such a hero. They wanted to have celebrations and parades and all these awards, and he turned it all down because all he wanted to do was go back to his farm and work.
All right.
He was a heck of a guy.
Gotcha. By the way, we haven't talked about it, Dan, even a little bit, but when the verdict comes down, I think there'll be talk. It could happen. Both sides have rested in the P. Diddy sex trafficking trial, which has gone on forever. I didn't think they'd ever rest. And if this guy's not convicted in this, I will be shocked, but I think we should have that tomorrow. All right, Gary in Newtown. Gary, what's your answer today?
I'm going to crayon outside the lines, and I'm going to go with an award-winning, Academy Award-winning J.K. Simmons for the famous farmer insurance guy. So, loved him in Whiplash and loved him in The Accountant, and had to stop watching Oz.
Farmer's Insurance. Oz is a tough watch. Dan, have you watched that?
No, I haven't.
I like it a lot, but man, in prison, you don't want to go. Henry Oz?
It's on my watch list for sure.
Okay, God. Brutal, though. Brutal. And he's the star of it in some bizarro world. Okay, Henry, we'll start off with you. Who did you like today?
Let's see. I think the best answers today were Joe in Columbus with the American Gothic.
That was a great one.
David in Somerset with Thomas Jefferson. And Joe in Exton with the good old Pennsylvania Amish.
The Amish was a little bit outside the box, too. Yes. Dan, what did you say?
Go to youtube.com/@12WPHG. Yeah, go check out the Scott Pressler videos. I'm putting it up there right now. Don't.
Okay. All right.
That's
so I got to come back to again. I liked Joe's answer, but I really did like American Gothic. That was unusual. Captured the whole thing in a unique way. So Joe of Columbus
back
goes into the hat. We'll do it all again tomorrow. And I think we have either Perry Van Drew or Van Drew Perry on tomorrow.
Yeah.
What is Congress going to do around this? And do Perry, Scott Perry, Congressman Perry and Van Drew, what's their metric to determine the damage we did in Iraq since CNN, the most believable, imaginable, says it was insignificant? Really? All right, big show tomorrow. A lot of great stuff. Thanks to Dr. Oz. That'll be up on social media if you missed it. Rich is next for 4 big hours. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.